Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Sorry about my voice. This has been going on for 2 weeks. And it's not fun when your job is to talk for a living. I'm so happy that you are all here today. We have quite a few visitors. If you've got kiddos, there are some busy boxes in the back. Just some fun things to do while you're here. And if you're visiting with us today, if you could please fill out the visitor's register. Looks like this little red book. It just lets us know who's been here. We won't track you down or anything. We just want to be friendly. For everyone else, for congregants, that I'm going to be heading up to Erie on Thursday afternoon through Friday evening. A very good friend of mine is being commissioned to the United Methodist Church, and I'm going to be going up there to support her and to see my family. Again, I also noticed that we have a lot of little ones with us today, which is amazing. It's been a really long time since I have been that little, but I do remember that it is very hard to contain your wiggles. And let's be honest, church is kind of boring. So, if you need to wiggle, you wiggle it out. And if you need to clap, you clap. And if you need to say, yay! Or if you get sad and you need to cry, you cry. Okay? You are all God's children, and we are all glad that you are here. So I want you to do that all for me, okay? Okay. With that, let us, yeah. Yeah. Women's Association meeting next Sunday at 9:30. Okay. Did I miss anything else? I'm sorry. Okay. With that then, let us prepare for worship by placing our phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings and begin with our call to worship. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn.
Thank you.
God promises to love and forgive us, not because we are righteous or law-abiding, but simply because we are. Trusting in God's steadfast love, let us confess our sin together. Merciful God, you are always drawing the circle of your love wider, but often we resist. You tell us that all people are your beloved, and we ask why? Why them? Even them? We are quick to judge others rather than being grateful that we too are included in the fold. We prioritize the privileged, the powerful, and the people who look and act right. But you extend grace first to the sinner, the outcast, and the marginalized. Forgive us, O God. Transform us that we may show mercy as you show mercy. Amen. You belong to Christ and are heirs of the promise of freedom and full assurance and justification by grace through faith, by authority of God's beloved Son. I declare you the absolute forgiveness of your sins. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, O God. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Amen. Thank you, Debbie. We've come to the time in our service where we lift up the prayers of joy and concern for the world, our neighbors, and ourselves. I do want to say prayers of thanksgiving for a successful surgery for Dennis. He's back at home. Everything went well as far as I know. Sue is asking for prayers for her brother, though. He is back in the hospital with AFib and, you know, some other, you know, stuff going on. So if you could pray for him. Amy, Ginny's daughter, is doing okay. She's back at home and there are some other struggles, but they think that they have found like the root cause of Amy's pain. And so thanks be to God for that. And hopefully they will find, the right treatment and help alleviate some of Amy's other issues. With that, please join me in prayer. Covenant-making God, you meet us where we are and call us forth to follow you. We give you thanks for the beauty of the earth. As the summer comes, we thank you for the lengthening of days, the warming of waters, the excitement of children. Help us to enjoy your creation. From that place of joy, to be faithful stewards of the planet that sustains us. We give you thanks for the loving community we find here in Christ Church. Strengthen us, teach us, and empower us to faithful service in the world so that our love may mirror your love and our mercy, your mercy. We praise you, O God, for your sovereign care for your people. Before you, nations rise and fall and wither like grass. Guide the leaders of nations, states, cities, and towns in the ways of your justice, compassion, and mercy. May all who hold positions of authority seek your will, and in so doing, tend to the welfare of all people. We rejoice this morning with those who rejoice, even as we know that the morning does not bring joy for all of your people. We pray for people living through war, violence, or oppression. We pray for the hungry and the homeless, the sick, injured, and grieving, those who feel lonely or afraid. We pray for immigrants, refugees, asylum seekers, and all people on the move. As Jesus reached out and touched the people who came to him for healing, may we also reach out our hands as your hands, our feet as your feet. Give us the grace to love and serve, to seek and listen, to pray and persist in righteousness and mercy. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Please rise as you're able and join in our hymn of preparation, number 377. be seated. God comes to us in grace, and we respond in gratitude. Let us present our tithes and offerings so that others may know their blessings and give thanks to God. Gracious God, you are the giver of all good gifts. Receive these offerings and use them for your work in the world until thy kingdom come. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Galatians 3, verses 23 through 26. Before coming of his faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you all are one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Bless the reading of the word.
Do I see any children out there? Are there any kiddos that would like to come up and talk to me for just a little bit? Do you want to come up for a minute? And anybody who's young at heart as well is also welcome. We can have just a little tiny talk. Oh my goodness. Look at that lovely dress. Hi, how are you? You're Teddy? Oh my gosh, did you have fun with those? Those are cool, aren't they? I kind of want some for myself.
Look at my sword.
Is this a sword? You made a sword?
No. This is my shirt.
Oh, your shirt. Okay. Hey, so I don't know. I'm really, really happy to see you all today. And I don't know if I properly told you who I am. I'm Pastor Kristen. And I'm so happy to see all of you. But I wanted to talk to you today about something very, very special. I'm wondering, have you ever seen somebody get wet in church?
Have you seen someone get wet in church? You have? Wow, can you tell me about it?
You get baptized.
Very good, you're one step ahead of me. You're already one step ahead of me. It seems like a weird thing to get wet in church, doesn't it? Because normally we don't get wet, but like, it doesn't rain inside of the church, right?
Yeah.
No, and we don't have a pool here.
No, but I don't know how to get wet.
Oh my goodness, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Uh-huh. Few people in here that might drown if we had a water balloon bus. Yeah, but we're not going to do that. No, that would be silly. Well, today, Scarlett is going to get wet in church today. And just like you said, it's her baptism. You're right. Her mom and her dad and her aunts are going to hold her, and then we'll all say some prayers, and then I'm going to sprinkle her with water. And that sprinkling of water, that baptism, that reminds us that God loves us so very, very much. Every one of us. And you know what else it is? It's a big party. It's a party. A baptism is a party. And it's how we celebrate how God loves us and how God wants us to be part of his family. So, but why does Scarlett get wet during baptism? Why do we need to use water? Anything else? It seems weird, huh? Yeah. Well, water is one of our gifts from God. Water keeps us clean and healthy. It grows our food. And you can't tell me that you don't have fun playing in water. Do you like to play in water? Oh, it's fun. Do you like to play in water?
Yeah.
Especially in the summer.
I love sprinklers.
Oh, sprinklers are the best. You run through them?
Yeah.
Oh. My mom and dad used to, I would run back and forth across the yard, and my parents would hold the hose, and they would just spray me as I ran back and forth. I know.
It is
stuck to the ground. So baptism is a big celebration, and it's a special bath, and it reminds us how much God loves and cares for us and wants us to be part of the family. Do you think we could we pray together for a moment? Do you want to pray with me? So I'm going to say some words, and then you all repeat after me, okay? That's everybody. Okay? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us so much.
Thank you for loving us so much.
That you gave us water.
That you gave us water.
And baptism.
And baptism.
And family. Help us to remember your love.
Help us to remember your love.
And share it with others.
And share it with others.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You can go back and sit with your grown-ups and play with your boxes. And, we'll see you in a bit.
Please pray with me. Holy, holy, holy one, your words feed us. The word frees us. And the Spirit gives us life. Grant our ears an appetite for hearing and our spirits strength for loving you. Amen. So in this letter to the Galatians, Paul is trying to show the people that Jesus has changed things. And I know it sounds like a no-brainer, all right? But Paul is saying that there's a difference in between the way that God's love was expressed before and after Jesus. God has always loved us. God has always cared for and invested in humanity. But Jesus definitely changed things. Paul tells the Galatians and us that before Jesus came, religious laws were really, really, really important. They were the essential part of God's plan. Does anybody out there remember how many laws Moses brought down from Mount Sinai? Anybody? 10? That is a really good guess. But the Ten Commandments are the ones that we normally think of. They're still really important. any other guesses? Because it's more than 10. How many? 20? 210? Try 613. 613 religious laws that told people what to eat, how to dress, where to worship, how to pray, when to bathe, who you could talk to. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time keeping track of the Ten Commandments. I don't know that I could keep up with 613 rules every single day. And like maybe if it was like part of my culture, like it was just sort of like embedded in what I did every day, I might be able to, but I feel like I might need to keep a notebook around with me just to make sure that I was adhering to all of them. But it's really important to understand here that like there's a lot of laws, and violating any one of them wasn't a minor thing. Like your very salvation was at stake for violating one law. And Paul says, hey, you know what? You know those laws. They served us well. And God had a purpose in giving us those laws during that time. The law was our guardian, and we needed to have all 613 of those laws to have custody over us. But now, Jesus has died, resurrected, and ascended. Things are different. We don't need to depend on those laws because we have salvation in faith. Let's take a time machine back into ancient Greece for 1 minute and break down the way that Paul was explaining this. The households, like a family unit, like mostly the wealthier ones, they had special servants called pedagogas. And these were long-time trusted servants who were responsible for the educational and moral welfare of the sons. Obviously just the sons, because sending daughters to school wasn't really a thing back then. But let's just pretend that we're talking about all children. These pedagogos, they didn't directly teach the children. They made sure that the kids got to school safely, that they didn't skip class. They had made sure that all of the books and supplies were available. They checked the homework every night. And then, when those children came of age, those household servants weren't really needed anymore. They completed their job. The children are now adults. and they're able to function on their own. And then the pedagogus could retire upstate into a farm upstate. In this passage, Paul makes the analogy that those 613 laws, like all of those combined, that was like the pedagogus, those household servants. The law was the guardian and the disciplinarian of God's people between the time of Moses and Jesus. The law, like, led people to Christ. Now, I'm not, when I say the law led people to Christ, I don't mean that people, like, progressively made their way to Christ as because they followed the law. We don't make our way to Christ. Christ makes his way to us. There's no other way to be released from confinement of the law. Don't get me wrong, laws are important. Rules are important. And God's laws are really good at exposing selfishness and self-righteousness, sin, idolatries, rebelliousness against God's will. What the law can't do is make people holy. The law was never, it was only meant to be a diagnostic tool. It wasn't a remedy for sin. And Jesus showed us time and time again that it's possible to obey the law and still not love God or our neighbor. The law was given to Israel to prepare for the coming of Jesus. I chose this translation, the New Revised Standard Version, because in verse 26, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And earlier translations say, sons of God. But I think a better translation of Paul's words is children of God. And I understand why earlier translations specify sons of God, like only sons were able to inherit property. And on rare occasions when daughters did inherit property, it would still be under the administration of a male family member. And people just didn't think about the possibility of women and men as equals. But Paul is telling us that both sons and daughters have equal standing with all of the responsibilities and benefits before God. And Paul says, you are all children of God. All Galatian believers, all of us here today, without distinction, we're already children of God in Christ through faith. There is literally nothing else we are required to do to secure this status. This faithfulness of Christ has brought the Galatians and us into God's family as God's children. When we participate in baptism, as Scarlett will in just a few moments, we participate in a real personal union with Christ. And as we are clothed with Christ in our baptisms, our identities are transformed. We are initiated in a new life where we rank no higher, no lower than anyone else. Our nationality has no bearing on our status before God. Our social class means nothing to God. God doesn't care about our gender. all of these social distinctions are obliterated in Christ. In our baptism, we have a new identity that is more important than all of the others. Our identity as children of God. As members of this family and as the church, one of our responsibilities is to be a sign of God's new creation. And that means taking all of these distinctions that divide us, nationality, gender, political affiliation, race, age, physical abilities, education, social class. We throw all of those away. We throw their power away. We throw away their ability to divide and oppress us, because we are all children of God. This doesn't mean that people who are in Christ cease to be American or black or female or old or anything else. We are still unique individuals, and God didn't create cookie cutouts. There is diversity in this world for a reason. Rather, these distinctions over which we have no control don't determine our status as God's children. The only status that matters is that we are children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we have the honor of witnessing and participating in the sacrament of baptism this morning. Eric, Kelly, will you, Jessica, and Lanny bring Scarlett forward?
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate the sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Scarlett Ray Thompson, child of Eric Thompson and Kelly Williams, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
I have a few questions for y'all. Yins, sorry. Kelly, Eric, do you desire that Scarlett be baptized? If so, say I do. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and teach that faith to your child? If so, say I do. Jessica, Elaine, will you, by your prayers and witness, help Scarlett to grow into the full stature of Christ? If so, say I will. Congregation, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Scarlett by word and deed, with love and prayer? If so, say we do.
We do.
Will you encourage her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, say we will.
We will.
Through the sacrament of baptism, we enter the covenant God established in Jesus Christ. Within this covenant, God gives us new life, strengthens us to resist evil, and nurtures us in love. Through his covenant, we choose whom we will serve, but turning from evil and turning to Christ. Kelly and Eric,
trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say I do. Who is your Lord and Savior? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, God's help.
Will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers?
I will, God's help.
Yay. Okay. This is the fun one. Oh my goodness. No. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your spirit moved over the watery depths, calling forth life and order. In the time of Noah, you destroyed evil by the waters of the flood, giving righteousness a new beginning. You led Israel out of slavery through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, God, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. From it, we are raised to share his resurrection. Through it, we were reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send your spirit to move over this water, that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all worldliness. Raise them to new life and graft them to the body of Christ. Pour your spirit out upon Scarlet Ray, that she may have the power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you be all praise, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Ready? It's warm. You want to touch it first? So, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By the day of Jesus Christ.
One last thing. Fire and water. Scarlett, you have been received into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church through baptism. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you have become a member of the household of God to share with us in the ministry of Christ and the priesthood of all believers. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Alleluia. Amen. Live as a light, as a child of the light, and let your light shine before others. Let us welcome our new sister, Scarlett Ray Thompson, into Christ Church.
That was fun. I bet it's more fun when you have a voice. Friends, let us rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. Before we go out into the world, let me offer a blessing. Friends, go forth in hope, faith, and love. Go forth to seek Christ's face, for those who seek him will surely find. Go forth to love and serve the Lord by loving and serving one another. As you go, may Christ's grace uphold you, may God's love surround you, and may the Spirit's energy sustain you now and forever. Amen.